So would you like to have your Bibles open at the 23rd Psalm, which is the Psalm for our consideration over these weeks through the duration of the summer. So Psalm 23, let me read it to you. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, the Christian gospel is outstanding for many things. Its claims are truly remarkable. It's either completely mad and a hoax, or it's truly the greatest thing in the whole world. It's extraordinary. The claims of the gospel that God should send his own son to our world and that he should be born of a virgin and be sinless so that he could go to the cross of Calvary and there die to take upon himself the sins of everyone who puts their trust in him, so that when we go beyond this 70 years of our natural life thereabouts, there is an eternity waiting for us. It will be an eternity of suffering and anguish without God. The Bible calls it hell. Or it will be an eternity with God and his dear Son forever. Now this work of salvation, which is truly remarkable, which God has wrought for everyone who puts their faith in, is the knowledge of salvation that God himself has worked it. There is nothing that we could have done ourselves. Indeed, if we try to add anything to it, we do as if it's not complete. But his salvation is so complete that there is nothing, there is no act of man, there are no works, there are no contributions that we can bring. And indeed, if we try to make our part to join to God's part, we undo everything that he has done. Remember this. This salvation is so great, it saves a sinner like you. That's like you. Like me. This is how great it is. And such a person as the Lord Jesus Christ has been given to be the great shepherd of the souls of everyone who puts their faith in him. And what he wants to do is he wants to lead us through this life. He wants to lead us into green pastures. He wants to lead us even into death's dark veil. And he wants to lead us out of there and into the house of God, and that for all eternity. He has promised that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Now, the problem at the heart of this message this morning is that for those Christians who have embraced and understood the greatness of the gospel, the wonder of it, the extraordinary claims of it, there are these also extraordinary claims which come down to every Christian, which is found here in this first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And the truth is that many Christians can believe God for their eternal future. They can really, really trust him for their eternal future. They have no doubts whatsoever, and that Christ has delivered them from the bondage and power of sin and Satan and this world, put eternity into their lives, cleansed them by his blood, and that they shall be saved. They've got no problem with this. And yet, when it comes to this life, most Christians have actually claimed their lives back. And it's shown by the fears and the worries and the anxieties which are the undoubted reality in the lives of so many people who profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's easy for the 23rd Psalm, whether it's in the old authorized version or in this new NIV, to roll off our tongues. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I lack nothing. So easy for it to roll off our tongues, and yet for the truth of it to be in fact millions of miles away from us. So we need to find out this morning, what are the implications of the Lord as my shepherd? The first implication is this, is if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I will lack nothing. Those are the implications. Otherwise, words don't mean very much. Now, I want to speak to you very quickly for a moment, first of all, about the logic of faith. Oh, I love the thought of the logic of faith. Let's imagine that we had met King David and we sat down with him. I think that he would have regaled us with story after story after story of how God had met him in his life and how he had looked after him and cared for him. And he would be able to tell us about the greatness of God in his life, watching over him and keeping him, providing for all of his needs, both spiritual and temporal. And here David is prepared to say, the Lord, because he is my shepherd, he's also my provider. And I ask you logically to think for a moment this morning, if God will pull out all of the stops and do everything for our salvation to the nth degree and send his son to die upon a cruel cross, if he will go that far to care for us and provide for us, is it not logical to conclude that he will also make sure that I lack nothing? I mean so much to him, I am so dear to him, I am so precious as his child, that he would go to the nth degree and sacrifice his own son. And then he would say to me, I'm going to leave you to yourself. Is this logically possible? If God is for us, who can be against us, Paul says. That's just divine logic. If we'd have stopped the Apostle Paul and said, what are you saying there, Paul said, it's pure logic. If God is for us, who possibly can be against us? Is it not logical that when Jesus says, because I live, you will live also? Of course, it's perfectly logical. There is a logic to faith. And so the inevitable conclusion that every Christian must begin with is when I have come to the Lord, when he has become my Saviour, when I am this dear and this close to him, I shall lack nothing. Think carefully before you use the words, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, that it's not just words, but that you actually mean it. Now, what I want to do first of all is to just see how this bears upon our temporal needs. Thinking about our problems of life and the necessities of life, the Lord has not promised his people that they will be free from trouble. Now, that's really important. I say this to people who come to me and talk to me and say, you know, this claim of the gospel, what is it? And I tell them, and they say, well, it doesn't look trouble-free. And I say, well, of course it's not trouble-free. It's not a rose garden, of course not. Because the Apostle Paul knew what it was to go hungry, and yet he didn't starve to death. He knew what it was to be naked, and yet somehow, somewhere, clothes were found for him. He was beaten, and yet his life was not taken from him. In other words, in the Lord's hands, he ultimately lacked nothing. And you say, well, trouble comes to life. Of course it does. Of course trouble comes. But now I want to tell you what's happened to us in our modern day. The advertising men have come. And the advertising machine has rolled forward. And what it has done, it has tied in. It has connected itself to the deep discontent which is in each and every one of us. Essentially, without our discontent, the advertising men could not do their work. And the fact is that there are millions of people who are discontented, and the advertising campaigns just keep on rolling. And they reach to our discontent. And it's no bad thing for a Christian to stop this morning and to ask himself, am I in fact purely discontented because of the age in which I live, which has made me discontented? And Christians can lose the difference between what they want and what they need. And it's the advertising men who have told you this is what you need, when in fact it is not what you need, it is what you want. A Christian convinces himself, herself, I must own a house. I put the stress on it. I must own a house. No, you don't need to own a house. You need a house to live in. But you don't need to own a house. And someone will shrug their shoulders and they'll say, oh, but it's so much better that one owns one's house than to rent. Listen to me. That's like me saying it's better for me to eat caviar than tinned salmon. I may prefer caviar to tinned salmon, but actually my budget may only run... Actually, I don't know what caviar is like, not really. I've had it once or twice, but... I'm not in want if I don't get the caviar. Am I? And I'm not in want if I don't own my own house or have that special car or this special thing or that special thing. I am not in want and I'm not lacking anything. And all I'm saying to you is that it's easy for Christians to misunderstand what it is to be in lack or to be in want and actually to have those things or desire those things so deeply as if they were necessary to life itself. Be careful, because the hideous health and wealth and prosperity gospel which is being sold all across America and even in this country today, Christians buy into it. Don't say the Lord is not providing for me just because you can't get what you want. Someone has said this, that 90%, and I think this is probably good, 90% of our problems are not material want, but they're wrong attitudes. I just leave this thought with you. Just think of how little you could actually live with. And you still wouldn't be in want. You wouldn't be lacking. Just think of it for a moment. So don't say that you are lacking something because you can't have what you want. Now this goes a long way to bringing about a correct understanding of spiritual contentment. Let me just remind you, for those of you who have not been at our Bible studies, of some words that I often quote from Agar in the 30th chapter of the Proverbs. It's absolutely extraordinary. He says this. He views life from two extreme circumstances. And he says, two things I ask of you, Lord. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Now, how many of you could really pray that kind of prayer? You say, well, I could pray the first bit easily. Give me neither poverty nor riches. He's saying, give me my daily bread. Sustain me and keep me. And it's a recognition, if I can put it this way, that here is a man, as it were, revealed in Scripture, who really knows himself. Someone who could say, don't give me poverty and don't give me riches. He's saying that I might disown you, Lord. If I become so rich, so wealthy, I'll do as if I don't need you. I'll survive by myself and I'll be so self-sustained I won't need you. Why? I'll be so powerful. I'll have everything that I need. And if I'm poor, I'll resort to stealing. And I don't want either of these things to happen to me. Do you realize that if you had all the riches in the world, or you were much richer than you are now, you'd just say to the Lord, I'm self-sufficient, thank you very much. And many, many people can testify the greatest challenges in their Christian life have not been with poverty, but they have been when they have had riches, when they have had plenty. even as you are, if I may say so, and I don't know all of your circumstances, but by and large, each and every one of us lacks nothing. And it means that we have a tendency to trust in our own self-sufficiency. That is, on a daily basis, people don't look to the Lord, they look to their job. They don't look to the Lord, they look to their bank account. They don't look to the Lord, they look to their savings. And they look to the stock market or whatever it might be. What a huge danger. The psalmist says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And though all these things, and we sang the hymn, which is based on the verses in Habakkuk, if you didn't know it, that though the fig tree fail, and though there be no sheep found in the pen, and though everything fails, and this happens, and that happens, and the next falls away, yet God is my salvation. When will the church learn to behave and live in the faith and the fear of God? And I just say this, whether you like it or not this morning, how beautiful, how spiritual, how advanced in faith are we when in reality we can actually say, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Then we are advanced. Then we have moved on. Then our faith is real. Not the next thing that happens to me, or the next economic breakdown, or the next removal of this government or that government that shakes me to my core. No, there is a steadfastness about the Christian. I just add something for your own benefit. You know that I don't believe in prophets. The prophets are dead. They've gone. The word of God speaks today. So I'm no prophet. I'm a spokesperson from the word of God, and that's all. But I preached on the 23rd Psalm in 2002. And I went through some of my old notes on this very verse in 2002. You'll never guess what it said in that message. In that message it said, what if there is an economic collapse and the destruction of our economies? What if they're all taken away? And in 2008, we saw the huge collapse. What I'm saying to you is that the world is sustained by God. I'm in his hands. I'm trusting him. The economies will come and go. The governments will rise and they will fall. But if the Lord is my shepherd, and he's leading me and guiding me, and he's got his hand upon my life, which logically, of course, he has, then I lack nothing. Now, let me set this thought also before you. This is really important. I lack nothing. The Lord is always my provider. And the emphasis is on always. The Lord is always my provider. So what happens is that Christians are either partially trusting the Lord, or they're hardly trusting him at all in their daily lives. They've claimed their lives back. When they were converted, they gave their lives to Christ as if for him to save them. And then they sort of claimed their lives back and said, I'm now in control. That's no Christian life. The Christian life is absolute dependence. This must be the rule. This must be the life of faith, that I depend upon you, that I trust you, Lord, in everything. It must be the tenor of our lives. It must be the norm. It must be the day-to-day way in which we breathe, the way in which we think. And yet the Lord's people are filled with anxiety and fear and terror and worry dominate them. It's as if they have no shepherd at all. Who is shepherding your life? Ask yourself this morning, who is shepherding my life on a daily basis? I read the 33rd Psalm, and we could have read the 34th Psalm, because there David also speaks about the Lord as a divine provider. He says he's the one who keeps me alive in famine. He says elsewhere, let's give thanks to the Lord. Now I ask you this morning, when you give thanks for your food, how you give thanks for your food, I don't know. I don't live with you. However simply you decide to. But surely when you're giving thanks to the Lord for your food, you're saying, that I'm not like the brute beasts. It's not my power and strength that enables me to go out and hunt, and I can do this and I can do that. It is like this, Lord, that if I have an intellect, you've given it to me. If I have strength and wit and ability, you've given it to me. There isn't anything that I've got that you haven't given to me that provides for the food on my table. It's daily, every day, acknowledging that the Lord is my provider. Listen to Psalm 34. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And the truth is that life stirs up trouble. We are like the sparks that fly upwards. We were born to trouble. We need the Lord to help us and to be our provider and to be our blessing. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I'll be with you every day. I'll be your provider every day. Don't worry. Don't be filled with anxiety. Apparently, I'm told this as a fact. More days are lost. More people are visiting their GP today. Well, tomorrow. For anxiety and for stress-related issues than for anything else. We're living in a world of uncertainty. Listen, I'm quoting the book of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul, if he's the writer of the book of Hebrews. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Now here it comes, listen. This is the conclusion. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Here is a man with the deepest confidence in his God. This isn't theory. This isn't just parroting off words. I know the 23rd Psalm. It's sung to very nice music, but it means actually nothing to me. What really matters to me is the size of my bank account. I look at my statement. Oh, my bank account's going down. Our savings are almost zero. They're almost nil. And anxiety and fear and stress kicks in. Haven't you heard the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount? He speaks about many things, but he speaks about this. He touches on our temporal needs and he warns about being overly anxious and he sets out a logical argument. Listen carefully. What is the logical argument from the Heavenly Father? Right. It's as if the Lord has to put it in the most childish, childlike terms for us. Do the birds seem to worry? Do the plants seem to concern themselves? Are they filled with anxiety or are their needs provided for? The answer is obvious and you are worth more than many sparrows and many plants. You are precious to God. Don't you understand this? It's as if the Lord has to call up the simplest childlike illustrations to reason with us about being our provider. Now you might say that some people are given to stress and worries more easily than others. I think that that's very true. And I'm not being unfeelingful towards those people. But if the size of the Lord and his greatness is what it is as he's revealed in the Word of God, and he is in my life, I don't mean theoretically in my life, I mean in my life, then I can deal. I can deal with it. I'm not stressed. I'm at ease. I can lay my head down at night and go to bed and sleep easily. Not if I must have caviar at breakfast. Because I don't think my wife's here. I doubt if the budget will run to it. Maybe once a year with a glass of great white wine. Actually, that sounds very good. We might do that this summer. Maybe. Oh, that's on tape or whatever it is that it's recorded on. Yes. Yeah. The Lord is not only able, but he is willing to meet our needs. And half of the problems that many of you will face is that you know that the Lord is able, you're just not sure that he's willing. But I am his child, I am his son. He has only planned good for me. And it might well be, I'm not saying it is for you, but it might well be that the Lord just has to get you off caviar and says you can't have that. and I have to learn that lesson, or whatever it might be. Be content. Be glad for the provision that the Lord has made. Now, this provision that the Lord makes, I shall not want, I lack nothing. It must also attend to spiritual things. And I just very quickly, I want to touch on spiritual things. Although the rest of the psalm does that, and I'll deal with that more fully in the weeks to come. But he'll tend to my spiritual nourishment. I will lack nothing. But I have a warning this morning. You need to really listen carefully to me now. This is very, very important. I will lack nothing if the Lord is my shepherd. Now, the problem is that the Lord's people all often are lacking spiritually because they've gone looking after other shepherds. There's a great painting in the Tate Gallery in London by Holman Hunt, a wonderful painting. It's called The Hireling Shepherd or The Lost Sheep, and it's a wonderful painting of a sheep on a precipice, painted in Dorset, on the edge of going over the bracken and the thorns and into the sea. And there's the hireling shepherd just laid at the side, carousing with his mistress or whoever it might be, his lover, not interested in the sheep at all. And the sheep have gone looking for other food. And the point is this, is that if we are going to be preserved, spiritually speaking, then it must be the chief shepherd of your souls who keeps you. And you must remember this, otherwise you'll go looking for other shepherds. And half of the problems that arise in the lives of Christians is like this, that they are dissatisfied with the chief shepherd of their souls, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what they do is they go looking for other shepherds. And it is like this, that the Lord says that you will not lack anything if I am your shepherd. And the minute that you go looking for others, that's when the snares come, that's when the gullies arrive. That's when the traps appear, and that's when the ditches show their face, and that's when the deep, thick fog comes down, and I get lost, and I wander off the path. And you might ask yourself this morning, is it true in my spiritual life that I have lacked spiritual things because I've wandered away from the Good Shepherd? Because I went after some new enticing food. And boy, as I see it, as I watch bits and pieces on the television, boy, is there some enticing food out there by the new and modern shepherds who are offering things. And people are likely to get drawn away, and they're likely to be drawn after this other food. And yet the Lord says, I'm the chief overseer of your soul. I'll be the shepherd to your spiritual life, but you must let me shepherd you. It is interesting to me, not only in the prophet Zechariah, but elsewhere in the Old Testament, the Lord warns against the false shepherds. Listen to this. Woe to the worthless shepherds. How many churches, how many Christians have been ruined by the worthless shepherds? And the under-shepherds in the church need to be like King David of old, because the Lord says of him, he shepherded them with integrity of heart. And isn't that what we want in the churches? We want people to be gently shepherded by the under-shepherds who shepherd with integrity of heart. Can't we recognize when we go places that here are shepherds who are feeding themselves, leading the flock astray? Can't we honestly recognize it and see it for what it is? And on the other hand, see those who would shepherd us with integrity of heart. By his word, the Lord coming and feeding the sheep day in and day out, always, with the wonderful revelation and the blessings of his word, he will build the sheep up. If I can put it this way, because this is old Authorized Version language, I love it. They shall be fat. The fatness of the spiritual life, what God provides, what God makes, the way he makes us. Is it not true that the church is so lean and thin and almost shallow and almost you can see through it, it's paper thin, no fatness, no substance to it spiritually, because the church has gone after other shepherds? And I draw to your attention, if you are not aware of it, I draw to your attention The words of the Apostle Paul when he writes to the Corinthian church, just listen to the way in which he writes to them. He says, I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. Now, are you a Christian? You are because of the grace given you in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, you wouldn't be a Christian. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. Now listen, for in him you have been enriched in every way. For in him you have been enriched in every way. Don't tell me you're poor. You've gone off looking after other shepherds then. You have to be. If your soul is impoverished, it's because you went after other shepherds. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Listen now, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift, as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end. He's the provider. He's the giver of the spiritual gift. He is the one who sustains the spiritual life. And he says, so that you will be blameless on the day of the Lord. Why so timorous? Why so trembling? Why so worried? Why so afraid? Why so bothered? Why filled with so much anxiety? Why so much stress and so much worry amongst the Lord's people? This is the great God of heaven who has gone to the ends of the earth to save my soul from my sins and to capture me and return me back into his family. He will make sure that I lack nothing. If the Apostle Paul had spoken before David and David had heard what Paul said to the Corinthians, he would have added at the end, I lack nothing. So this morning, God is my all-round provider. He's providing for my temporal needs. He's providing for my spiritual needs. And he'll keep you strong to the end. You'll be all right, don't worry. You're not in my hands or in this church's hands, but if you're a believer, you're in the Lord's hands. My arms underneath you would be very weak. His arms are the everlasting arms. And they're strong. And they can't ever, ever be removed. They'll stay good to the very end. If you've come to the Lord Jesus Christ, at the very beginning of your faith, don't worry. Don't worry. You don't need to worry about anything. You're in the Lord's hands. What will become of me when I'm this age or when I'm that age? You don't need to worry about that. You don't lack anything. You'll never lack anything because the Lord will be with you. Isaiah chapter 40, he gathers his lambs in his arms. Deuteronomy, the eternal God is your refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. So if you become a Christian and you professed your faith in Christ, then you started to make some progress in the Christian life. You don't lack anything because you're complete in Christ. Somebody comes along and says, oh, you need this and you need that and you need the next thing. Oh, no. If I am in Christ, I am complete. For that's how the Apostle Paul puts it. You are complete in Christ. You'll always be complete. But you must make sure that you haven't seized your life back and you're now running it. Because if you're running it, almost certainly you'll be in lack. You'll be in want. And certainly, if you stray from the chief shepherd of your soul and start looking for other shepherds, spiritually, you'll go downhill. So if we've begun with Christ, let's go on with Christ. If we started with the chief shepherd, let's stick with the chief shepherd. And let it be our daily experience, not now and again, not once a year, that we are able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, and I mean these words. I lack nothing. With such a great God, how could we lack anything? So God bless his word to us and speak to us through it this morning. Amen.
Amen.